If you have your Bibles this morning, or if you want to grab one from in front of you, we're going to be in 1 John this morning, and we're going to be looking at approximately half of the first chapter. And we're going to be talking about that God is light. God is light. In Him there is no darkness. But when you read this entire chapter, it has a lot to do also with the ability, or the grace we have to have fellowship with God. True fellowship. Fellowship with God, and as our fellowship with God is strengthened, so will our fellowship with other believers be strengthened. And because I believe there's a lot of disconnect in the world today. There's a lot of problems, even in the church, when it comes to fellowship. Fellowshipping the way that God, the Bible, lays out fellowship, true fellowship should be. And it reminded me of a story I heard of a little girl who had gotten in trouble because of the way she had been treating her little brother. And she had also, then when she got in trouble with her parents, said some mean things to them as well. And so for dinner, they made her sit in a little table off to the corner all by herself. And as she began to, right before she was about to eat, they heard her saying grace. And she started by saying, "Father, thank you for preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." That's not the type of fellowship that we should be striving for. So let's go to 1 John chapter 1 and let's begin. You know, it's only 10 verses, so I'm going to back up. We're going to start from verse number 1. But primarily this morning we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 10. But verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." John is talking about Jesus, okay? And he goes on to say, "The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father," excuse me, "and was manifested to us." Verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Those are the first four verses, and John, right at the beginning, he's laying out the fact that Jesus, there was this teaching at the time called Gnosticism that basically was teaching that Jesus did not come in the flesh. He was just a spiritual being, that he didn't die on the cross as a physical sacrifice for our sins. And John, right at the beginning of this letter, is putting an end to that. He's saying the life was manifested. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, we saw Him, we heard Him, we could touch Him. This wasn't a spiritual apparition. This was a real person, God, that had come in the flesh. And then in verse 5, John continues and he says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Father God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for inspiring John to record for us the truth that's contained in this letter about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, this morning, that this message, Lord, that each of us take something from it that we can apply to our lives so we can be doers of the word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. Fellowship with God. It's one of the main purposes that God had for mankind. so that we could enjoy fellowship with God Almighty. And we see, when if you go back to Genesis, right at the beginning, that was God's purpose for creating Adam, for creating Eve, was to have this fellowship with mankind, between man and God before the fall. We read in Genesis that Adam walked with God. That means he had a relationship with God. He could speak with God. God would come down and he would commune with Adam and they would talk about things. But then something happened. Adam disobeyed God. He sinned. He broke the one commandment that God had given him, not to eat fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One commandment, Adam broke it. Sin came into the world, and sin broke that fellowship that Adam had with God Almighty. Now, if you think about this fellowship, this relationship that we can have with God, what does God gain through this fellowship that he has with us? It's a hard question. Does God really gain anything from this relationship? I think he does. I think because we can see a relationship of a father or a mother with their child. The child really can't do anything for their parents, right? Especially the smaller they are. But hopefully even if you have from time to time troubles, I mean, I'm sure no one ever had troubles with their kids, but you receive a certain amount of joy just from watching them grow up, watching them do things, their first steps that they take. The first time they say, you know, dada or mama, right? It puts a smile on your face. Or the first time they actually say, I love you, when it's not in response to you telling them. When on their own volition, they tell you, dad or mom, I love you. That brings joy to a parent's heart. And I think when we say to God, of our own volition, God, I love you. Thank you for everything. It brings, I think, joy, a certain element of joy, and just it encourages God, I think, when we do those things. So there is something that he gains through this fellowship. Almost like he desired to have objects on which he could bestow his love, so he created mankind. So he could bestow his love on us. And if that doesn't blow you away, that God really does love you, that he actually even, at least some of you, he likes some of you even. He likes you. He loves you, though. Jesus died for you. I say this sometimes when I'm thinking about things that are going on in my own life with different things. But if God doesn't do one more thing, one more miracle, and I know he will, but if he doesn't, the fact that he died for me is all I need to know. That's all I need to know. If not one more miracle, not one more blessing comes, what greater blessing is there than that Jesus made a way for me and for all of us to go to heaven by his death on the cross? Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Amen. Now, when you think about, though, in this relationship, right, we always say that Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. So what do we gain out of this relationship? What do we not gain? It'd be a lot easier to think of things we don't. We gain so many things. Blessings, the grace of God, the favor of God, the provision of God, healing, eternal life or everlasting life. I mean, think of all the things that we gain through this. That he is now our God, and he is now on our side. He's for us. He's not against us in this life. And he's come to give us life more abundantly. Life more abundantly. We have an enemy, and we're learning that on Wednesday night. We have an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that you have, that we have. But Jesus is greater than he. Right? Greater is he that is in you. Who's in you? Jesus. Holy Spirit, God, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So even though we have an enemy out there, in here, we have somebody greater. And we can be overcomers through him. Right? How do they overcome when you read Revelation? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen. Now, let's talk about that in verse 6. we go to verse 6, I think hopefully that's the next slide, or you might have to just go to verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, with who? With God, with Jesus, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Fellowship is impossible while you're walking in darkness. And that's true with God, but let's just take it down to a human level. If you're married, your husband, and you are cheating on your wife, it's going to be really hard to have fellowship with your wife. Amen? If you are not treating your kids the way the Bible tells you to treat them, right? It's hard to have fellowship and relationship. If there's no trust, if there's no love, if there's no kindness or gentleness at times, it's really hard to have fellowship if you're walking in darkness. If you're doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but then expect to have this great relationship, this great marriage at the same time, it doesn't work that way. And it's the same with our relationship with God. What caused the relationship that Adam had with God to be broken? Sin. Right? Willful disobedience to what God desired him to do. And the same thing, it wreaks havoc in Christian homes, in our relationship with God. When we are willfully disobedient, it breaks fellowship. But we're going to see there's a way to restore that fellowship. There's a way. There's always hope with God. As long as God exists, there's always hope. There's always hope. Don't lose hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Right now, this isn't saying don't have friends or don't have acquaintances that are unbelievers. Because then who are you going to witness to? Who are you going to tell about Jesus if you have no relationships other than people that are Christians? And that can be a danger. The longer it seems like that people are in church, the less Christian friends they have and the less influence they have, right? We should be looking for people that need Jesus, and don't ever assume that someone you know is just going to reject you. Let them reject Jesus. Don't reject Jesus for them. Right? Just tell them about Jesus. Tell them about your relationship. But this is not talking about your acquaintances. This is talking about marriage. It's talking about dating. It's talking about all types of yoked together in a covenant type of relationship. Don't do that. Verse 15 says, and what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Again, fellowship, the fellowship that God wants us to have is impossible while one person in the relationship is walking in darkness. Now, we know that he's not walking in darkness. God is light, right? Pure, righteous, holy. So we know it's not him, it's us. It's us that we have decisions. Every day we have a decision to make how we're going to walk, in the light or in darkness. You cannot have fellowship with God while walking in sin, while practicing sin. To assert that you have a relationship with God while you're walking in sin is to assert a lie. It's a lie, and it's not me saying it. It's the Word of God saying it's a lie. It says in the last part of verse 6, and they do not practice the truth. They do not practice the truth. They're not living in harmony according to the truth. Fellowship comes by walking in the light. This is verse 7. Verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Just stop right there and think about that. As we're walking in the light, now we're not perfect, but what's your motivation? What's your desire? To walk like Jesus walked, right? To become more and more like Jesus every day. So there is a desire. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we say things at times that that we need to repent of or confess? Yes. Do we do things? Yes. But where are we trying to go in our Christian walk? Do we have our eyes on Christ, right? Are we trying to become more like Him and we're relying on the Holy Spirit? Are we cooperating with the Holy Spirit to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us day by day into the image of Jesus Christ so we can be more like Him? So it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And as we have fellowship with one another and fellowship with Him, the entire time the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. That is phenomenal. That is amazing. That's what all of us need every day, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. Walking in the light is living an open life. It's you know, when I was on the police department, it wasn't like criminals came looking for me, right? Criminals generally don't go looking for the police, okay? They do a lot of the, you know, you can, here's a little tip for all of you that might be house hunting or thinking about buying a house one day or renting an apartment. It's fine to go buy the property during the day, but I would recommend going by at night and seeing who's hanging out in the neighborhood, who's hanging out nearby. Because when I was on probation in South Central Los Angeles, so you know it's like the hood, okay? And we're going through this part of this housing complex that we called the jungle at the time, and I would notice like it'd be 2 a.m. and there'd be people with their moving truck moving in to their apartment. And I asked my training partner, what's this about? Why are they moving it? Why don't they just wait? Because they don't want anyone to see what they have. They don't want their neighbors to see their big screen TV or whatever else they might have. So they move in, and right? Most of the crime that I had to deal with, and I mostly worked night watch when I was working, was at night. That's when people that wanted to break in, to steal stuff, to do whatever it is they're doing, they do it at night under the cover of darkness. Men don't come to the light because they want the darkness to cover their evil deeds. They don't want the light. What does light do? Exposes what's evil. It exposes what needs to be changed. So they pretend like, well, they can actually keep people in the dark, but they don't keep God in the dark. God sees what they're doing. You can't hide anything from Him. And a true Christian is not two-faced. He lives a constant life. The life he lives at church is the same life he lives at home. Amen. The life that he lives at work is the same life he lives when he's not at work. Amen. There's no, hey, I'm just going to put up this front here, but I'm going to pretend and my real self is going to be out here. We're the same. We're the same, no matter where we are. And what's the results of this fellowship? Well, it says in verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. So that this life, we're talking about continuing fellowship with God. Continuing fellowship with God is possible because of this continuing cleansing that's taking place. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of animals that covered sin. Right? You go through and you read the sacrifice upon sacrifice of all these sacrifices for sin and trespasses and guilt offerings and all this. That's why how many of you are attempting right now to read through the Bible this year? To read the whole Bible? Is anybody in like Deuteronomy or Leviticus right now? There you go. When you're reading through Leviticus, and there's good parts of each book, but sometimes you get to all the sacrifices and just reading about them makes you tired sometimes. Let alone, what about if you had to actually do these sacrifices every day? Every day you had to take your sin sacrifice to the temple. God has set us free from that by the blood of Jesus Christ. Shed once and for all. Shed once and for all. And the blood of Jesus, it doesn't just cover sin. It eradicates sin. It destroys sin. When God paid such a price to free us, it is an insult to God to try to offer our good works in place of what Jesus did for us. No amount of good works And really, what does God call our good works? It's like filthy rags. Our good works does not, you know, we didn't get saved by good works. It's by the blood of Jesus, what he did for us. So we insult God when we think our good works can substitute for what Jesus did. Look at verse 5 again. Verse 5 in 1 John chapter 1. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, if we say we don't have a sin nature, we say, you know, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That's the nature we're born with. It wasn't like we were born neutral, and then at some point we decided to start sinning. We were born with this nature because of the fall, and now we inherit a sin nature because of Adam. All you have to do is look, you know, babies, sometimes they're sweet, but a lot of times, I mean, they are selfish and they don't listen to you and, you know, all kinds of things. Let's move on. It's funny, sometimes I'll use the saying, like if someone, I slept like a baby last night. Oh, that's great. No, I was up every 3 hours. If we say that we have no sin, look at Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam, talking about Adam. Adam was a real person, okay? Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, all right? All sinned, for all have sinned, right? Goes on to tell us in Romans. Adam, the first man, he was the head, he was the representative head of the human race, of all mankind, and through his sin, death, disease, suffering, all these things entered into the world. And we can see that everyone here is going to die at some point, unless God in his grace raptures us, raptures the church first. But eventually all of us will pass on. Sooner or later. And the doctrine of Adam acting for mankind in his sinning, it's very important. It's an important doctrine because it's tied to the fact that if one man, Adam, could make everybody sinners, then there's one man, King Jesus, that can make people righteous, make everyone that believes in him righteous. Romans 5:15 says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, capital M, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, he's writing to the Ephesians. He declared that we are by nature children of wrath. By nature, we're children of wrath, even as others are. A denial of the sin nature, when you read John, is deception. We're deceiving ourselves. We're thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. We're thinking we don't have a sin nature, and we're not dealing with sin anymore because we're in Christ. John declares that if we make such a denial, that the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. But he goes on. This is one of my favorite verses, one of the first verses after John 3:16 that I memorized, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that restores fellowship. Confession. Confession is really just agreeing with God that what you're doing is wrong. And repenting. God, repenting is turning. Confession and repentance. Confessing that what you're doing is wrong, and repenting means turning from what you're doing. When you do that, he says, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now we're back into fellowship with him because of what Jesus did. So if you have something that you're harboring, a sin, whatever it is, confess it. Agree with God that it's a sin. Don't listen to the culture telling you it's not a sin, it's okay, the Bible isn't correct, or the Bible misinterprets. Listen, in your soul, in your conscience, you know that what you're doing is wrong. Just confess it and repent of it, and you're restored to fellowship with God. That is such a blessing. That is such a but a lot of people don't want to. Pride gets in the way. Pride. What was Satan's main problem that caused his fall? Pride. Don't allow pride to keep you separated. Don't deceive yourself through pride, thinking that you have this relationship with God when you don't. What are we supposed to do about our sins? It's right there in 1 John 1:9. Confess them. Confess them. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who do we confess to? God. We don't need an intermediary. We go to God and we confess our sins to Him. It's Jesus' blood that cleanses us from all sin. He is faithful to forgive us. Faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. In Micah 7, verse 18, Prophet Micah says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. That's the God that we serve. He is just to forgive. And the basis for the forgiveness of our sins is the fact that Jesus died in our place. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now that's a lot to take in. So just focus on that last part. Do you have faith in Jesus? Because if you have faith in Jesus, everything that came before that is yours. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Do you trust him? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. The word washes us, right? Like water. It cleanses us. David asked in Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man, or in this case, a young woman, keep his way? How can a young man keep his way? He said, by taking heed according to your word, by living according to your word. In Isaiah 1:18, God said, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteous. There's no unrighteousness that the blood of Jesus can't cleanse. Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When David was faced by his sin with Bathsheba, by the prophet Nathan, he cried out, I have sinned. And immediately the prophet said, your sins are forgiven. You shall not die. And then I believe that David's son Solomon, he might have been thinking of the sin of his father, and even his mother, when he said in Proverbs 28, he who seeks to cover his sin shall not prosper, but whoever will confess his sin shall be forgiven. David, upon hearing the words of the prophet, this is what he wrote in Psalm 32, verse 1. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, My bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. What's he saying? When I refused to confess, when I tried to keep this sin secret, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. Verse 4 says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. It's amazing how unconfessed sin can just keep nagging at you and nagging at you, and it won't let you go. If we say that we have not sinned, go back to 1 John. You know, many people, they're just not willing to acknowledge their sin. They're unwilling to acknowledge their sin. They're always seeking to justify their actions. And they blame others. They like to blame others for their shortcomings. This is a funny verse at the time. Everyone heard the term, eating sour grapes, right? This is from Jeremiah 31, also in Ezekiel 18. Our fathers have eaten sour grapes, and our teeth are set on edge, right? Blaming the fathers for having eaten, and now it's causing us because our fathers have done it. It's always blaming. Oh, my parents did this to me when I was growing up, and now this is why I'm like this. It's always putting the blame to somebody else. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God what? A liar. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If people would just confess that they've sinned, that they've done something that God does not approve of, that he's not pleased with, it's confession that then allows other people to come in and help you. It allows God to cleanse you, but there's a lot of people that need healing, but because they're unwilling to confess their sin, other people can't help them, right? They can't help them. They can't reach out to them and really help them be redeemed by telling them how to be redeemed. They deny their guilt. They deny what they've done was wrong. They keep excusing their actions. And if you keep doing that, there's no opportunity for restoration. There's no opportunity for forgiveness when you keep doing that. And in so doing, we make God a liar. Why? Because it was God who said that there is none righteous. No, not one. And God declared that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And it says if we do that, his word is not in us. His word is not in us. And I want to close this morning by going to John chapter 15. And I encourage you to read this entire chapter, but it's about abiding in Jesus Christ, about living and walking with Christ, having that fellowship that we're talking about. But this is just a few verses, 5-8. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, and what did he just say in 1 John? Your word is not, if you're denying sin, you're denying your sin nature, you're refusing to confess it, you're refusing to allow the blood of Jesus to wash you. John wrote 1 John, he wrote the Gospel of John. He says, if you abide in me and my words, Jesus says, abide in you. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified. Do you want to glorify God? Do you want to glorify God? Okay. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Well, how do you bear fruit? Abiding in Jesus. Believing in Christ. That's how God is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. If you don't think a Christian needs to repent, I suggest you read another book that John was inspired to write, the book of Revelation, where Jesus Christ himself dictated seven letters to seven churches. And to five of those churches, to Christians within those churches, he said, repent of something. Sexual immorality, of unrighteous domineering over the believers, of different things. But he told five of those churches there are things they needed to repent of. And he's telling us, if the Holy Spirit's convicting you this morning of something, don't put it off. That's out of love. God wants a relationship with you. And he doesn't want sin interfering with that relationship, and it will. Even if you try to convince yourself it won't, it will. We just read scriptures. It will. And you make God a liar. There's only one way to be cleansed, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. By confessing our sins, God is faithful, God is just. He will forgive you, and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves this morning. We humble ourselves before your word and before your living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we humble ourselves, and we right now we just confess, Lord. There are things in our lives that probably, Lord, not even probably, but we know, Lord, that we need to give up, to repent of, to confess, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would quicken our spirits. Not allow pride, not allow the fear of man or what people will think to interfere with the most important fact there is, that you desire a relationship with us, and it comes through confession and repentance. So with every eye closed, no one looking around, this is between you and the Lord. I'm not even going to be looking out in the audience. But if there is something that you know that you have in your heart that you want to give to the Lord, to confess it, for the Lord to cleanse you, to restore fellowship, now is your opportunity. I just pray by an act of faith, just to put up your hand real quick. God's going to see it. I'm not looking, and nobody else is looking around. Just real quick, put it up as a confession that you're confessing and you're repenting. And when you do that, the Word of God promises that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. And I challenge you right now. Everyone can open their eyes. I challenge you right now to walk a life of continual dependence on the blood of Jesus. That if you mess up, if you do something dumb, if you know you're doing something that is not pleasing in God's sight, don't try to ignore it. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to make excuses. Be quick to repent. It's like when you get in an argument with somebody, the longer you wait to say you're sorry, the harder it becomes. The devil, the enemy of your soul, will try to convince you that you don't need to ask forgiveness. But God, we just read his word. We need to be confessors. We need to walk in this in the light so that the blood of Jesus constantly cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Amen. Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I pray, God, that you would allow your word. And I know, Lord, that there's nothing in us that's going to prevent your word from taking root. Lord, our desire, our prayer is to abide in you, to abide in Jesus Christ and his word, and to walk in the light as he is in the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.